Hey, I just met you, but I got a feeling we could have some blurred lines when everybody's in the house tonight. But then I kissed a girl and it got hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to write the song of the summer. It's got to have sex and joy and heat and sex and a catchy hook. How do you like this for a hook? Promiscuous boy, I'm all alone. Let's use protection from STDs.
It's a little clinical, right? Also, and I say this as a friend, you're writing a terrible song.
No, that's not even the point. We're in this era of post-music music. The music is no longer the point, it's the positioning. And if I get it right, think of all the good I can do with the money. I can build an orphanage in Santa Furtado.
Santa Furtado? There's no such place as that.
Okay, go ahead, Greg. Just pick my dreams apart.
Kion, I'm not...
Wait. I think I heard something in there. Promiscuous boy, pick my dreams apart. Go ahead. You know you want to.
No, this will not work.
In the video, I'm naked and a dog bites my leg while I'm trying to move a turtle. For no reason. Today on the show, our music mavens wrinkle their noses and grit their teeth and try to talk about this year's Song of the Summer. And now, his Iggy Azalea has crown rot and leaf spots, Colin McEnroe.
Yeah, I tried repotting the Iggy Azalea. It didn't work. All right, so that was actually our intro from last year. We're the only ones who actually remember that. And because we now play this intro every year, basically. We do the Song of the Summer show every year. We've been doing it since 2011. And it inevitably results in hard feelings, hurt feelings, anger, listener disappointment. And perversely, I look forward to it almost more than any other show. So, so we have to explain a little bit why that is. Last year, not only did I get in trouble with the panel, who they were very grumpy about having to listen to some of these songs and then pretend to like them, but I got in trouble with at least one listener who said I apologized for the songs too many times. So I'm going to try to thread this needle better this year. Let me just tell you, we've reshuffled the panel a little bit. Some people, I just couldn't put them through this again. But Joan Holliday is back. I think she's been on every single one of these shows. She's, of course, a radio personality at WR. RSI, the river in Northampton, 93.9, I'm going to say.
That's correct.
I'm actually getting better. Brendan J. Sullivan has been with us for many other things, but we're very fortunate to have him here. He really is sort of a scholar of the Song of the Summer. He's not allowed to get grumpy about it. He's a New York-based DJ and the author of Rivington Was Ours, Lady Gaga, The Lower East Side, and The Prime of Our Lives. He's joining us from the NPR studios in Manhattan and then making his debut on this particular concept show, but certainly not his debut on the Colin McEnroe Show. He's been on many, 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 many times. Jim Chapdelaine, musician, producer, leader of the Shinolas, so many other things. He actually will be able to figure out how some of these songs become what they are. But Jim, I sense that you're on a learning curve right now with the notion that this show embraces, which is that there is the song of the summer, that there is one anointed song that may not be a song that we all like all that much, but somehow or other, it's the song of the summer.
Well, I'm not so sure. I spontaneously break out into Daft Punk from time to time. And I think that was the song of the summer.
No,
was
it came not? In second. It came in just second.
I'm on the wrong show.
We can explain this. That's a good thing to understand, though. That was 2 years ago. It came in just second to Blurred Lines.
So I did a historical search of all the songs of the summer, which is probably the worst thing that I could be doing right now for this show. And I think we briefly alluded to the songs of the concept going back to actually Stephen Foster, which I'm sure Brendan has probably done many remixes of.
Oh, yeah.
At 130 BPM. And then I ran all of these current choices by my 16-year-old daughter, and I won't – I'm going to save her response.
All right, save Annie's response.
And I did listen to every single one and watched Brendan's delightful YouTube.
Yeah, Brendan gave us a YouTube supercut and also kind of a YouTube Hampton-based tutorial on Song of the Summer. But so, Brendan, I'm going to have you sort of summarize that tutorial. For people who are kind of new to this concept, explain what the Song of the Summer is.
Okay, you imagine the first time that you get off the Block Island Ferry, the jitney, the boat, the family station wagon, and you see like your summer spot. And as soon as you get there, you smell it, you feel it, you're free, the weather's nice. Song of the Summer is all of those things for your ears. And the easiest way I can sum it up, I would say, is to say that the rules for Song of the Summer are the same as summer romance. And there are three of them. One is fresh faces only. Like, Song of the Summer and summer romance aren't the time where, like, it finally works out with you and that guy from work. It's like someone new you haven't met. It's exciting. Number two, I would call that rule love at first sight. It's got to grab you in the first 3 seconds. And rule number three is that it's just a fling. It doesn't have to be your favorite band or the band you've loved your whole life. It's something new that might even just be new to you, and it might be personal because you're not at school, you're not at work, you don't have the usual influences.
So, and Joan, one thing that we know about the Song of the Summer is that is although it's a coveted spot, it's a coveted niche, and in fact we'll talk as we go along about how very purposefully musicians and artists and producers and stuff like that, they actually sort of go after this. It doesn't really work out all that well for most of the, for many. I mean, Katy Perry would be one of the exceptions. But
a lot of
these people wind up, you know, working in car washes afterwards.
Beyonce had one, right?
Yeah, but like some of the more recent ones, I mean, including Iggy Azalea, who just had to cancel
Iggy
her tour.
Iggy Azalea, yeah, she just kind of went up in flames and you know, went away almost quietly. I think everyone wanted her to. Mm. But yeah, a lot of times they don't have any luck after this. It's kind of a curse to be the Song of the Summer.
So what we're going to do, we're going to go through some of the nominees. We're going to talk about why they either will make it or won't make it. And I think it's good to start out with a low-pressure one, one which I think we probably all could pre-agree is not going to make it. But it's somewhere in the
you're
mix.
You're picking mine, aren't you?
But before you go, can we just assume then that the Song of the Summer is basically your favorite character on Game of Thrones for 3 episodes.
if that works for you as a concept,
that is summarily executed in a horrible fashion.
Right, okay, or has poop thrown on them. All right, right. So let's pick the song Worth It by Fifth Harmony. I don't think it has a supporter anywhere on here, but it's on the list of contenders. I mean, if you look, there are a whole lot of websites that keep track of this kind of stuff. It's on the list, and it's on everybody's list of contenders. So I think this is a low-pressure one. We can start out, play a little bit of this song, and then talk about why it would ever get considered and then why it's not going to make it.
Give it to me, I'm worth it.
That's right. As Wolfie just pointed out, I think we get the message anyway.
I think the message
of the song is clear. It was just that she's worth it.
And
the
saxophone sample passes Brendan's litmus test
that
for the first 3 seconds.
Well, I think we all agree that's not Song of the Summer, but it does pass all three rules.
Yeah. They're new, and it's a fling. It's
instant hook.
Yeah. Although the sax actually, as I pointed out to Brendan earlier this week, it's almost exactly the same as one of Jason Derulo's earlier songs.
It's also from a klezmer band, I think.
Yeah, probably. But so, Brendan, at some point, you'll be DJing in the Hamptons or something, and you will play this song, right? I mean, this is a song of the summer, simply not the song of the summer.
That is a song of probably spring break. And so for kids, like when you're a kid, you just imagine like that song sounds like winter or like being on the school bus. Song of the Summer has to be fresh. That's the only rule that one bent is that's not exactly a fresh face.
I have a quick question. When's a release date for a song? Is that relevant or when does it creep into public consciousness?
I think it's not. I think it's not relevant because some of these songs hang around for a while.
Because anything could just bubble up.
Well, actually, here we've got a call coming in that will illustrate, will answer that question for you. Here's Tim in New Haven. Hi, Tim.
My song of the summer violates most of the rules that you guys have already set up because it's a good song. In the words of Dick Clark, it's got a good beat and it's easy to dance to. And that's Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson.
Thank you. That could be the song of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I love that song too, and
but
it does
like
get me out of this.
10 years old.
Yeah, it's too old
in
for
summertime,
song of the summer.
Right?
I mean, Brendan, that one's on this downhill slope right now. It can't be the song.
Yeah, that song would be the equivalent of Happy last year. It's just a song everyone agrees is great, but it brightens your winter. It doesn't exactly make your summer.
Right. So it can't be the song of the summer.
Already happened.
Right. Yeah. Already.
I feel like Brendan is sitting on the Supreme Court
somewhere.
Yeah, he's a disembodied voice.
I would say
the highest authority. We're appealing to the highest authority.
This is my profession. I'm a DJ. So when I play a song that people don't really like, I get screamed at. They don't just say, oh, I don't think I like that song as much.
You know, just to respect
people in the Hamptons screaming at me.
As a respect to your profession, last night I went and I actually did the beats per minute of every one of these songs to see if there was a correlation. It seems to be between 120 and 130, which is
that's like reading the stock market.
Right.
You know, you think you can beat the numbers, and then just something comes out of
nowhere. And then a ballad comes out. Yeah.
Yeah, there it's hard to find a rule. Like, I was talking at home last night about this, and it was suggested this a singable song. But that's not really true. I mean, Carly Rae Jepsen, that's a singable song. You can all sing along with that song. But you can sing along with Party Rock Anthem. I mean, it's not necessarily a singable song. I don't think there's a rule you can find.
You can't
find.
Sing along to Party Rock Anthem? What's wrong with you, Colin?
You cannot.
Yes,
I cannot.
Can.
No one can.
You can sing along to Sukiyaki, but that was 1963.
Let's pick a song that we're going to play Bills by Lunch Money Lewis. This is another example of a song that dropped pretty early in the year. It's one that Brendan likes. It's one that I like. It's one that Mr. Dankosky hates. So let's play it. It certainly is a song that could make people want to get up and dance. I had meant before playing this song to warn people about the oath in it, but I also decided not to bleep it because I think we're all grown-ups here.
We can handle it.
We can handle it, I think.
I like this song. It's retro. It's got the hook right up. Right.
There's something about this song that's just, it's the anti-fancy, the song of the summer last year.
Yes.
You know, it's like a working-class black man talking truth in a really wonderful way. But it's you know, fancy would never fly this year when we have a white lady being kicked out of the NAACP.
So Brendan, would this be ironically embraced in the Hamptons?
It would, however, yeah.
They got bills. No, they got bills.
They got big bills.
Yeah.
I think there's, to go with my theory that it's like summer romance, sometimes you meet someone and the only reason you would say I like you is you're not the person I was just dating. Mm-hmm. So this would be like a reaction to fancy. So that's why it's disqualified.
It's also a perfect anthem for our times. Most middle class and lower middle class people are having a hard time getting by. So everybody can be happy and dance to that. And it means something to them.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm in the fast lane from L.A. to Tokyo. I feel like I'm this guy.
Yeah.
Joan, I knew that you would like the song because I like this song. And there are only seven songs that that Joan and I don't like together.
And they're all by Al Stewart.
So I'm down with this song. I like this song. So it's the first one that grabbed my ears.
So, Brendan, what would militate against it? I mean, why wouldn't it be the song of the summer?
A good pop song needs to have what I call that third thing. I wrote about this in my book. And the third thing is usually the hook. And it's like you can pick one piece of it and say, this is it. It's like that first part of Rolling Stone's Satisfaction. It just gets you every time. Bills has a hook. It has a riff, but it doesn't have a hook other than just saying I've got bills, which every, you know, people have and teenagers do not have.
And also, why isn't it being penalized for having hung around for a while? Because it didn't get on the charts until now, assuming it even has. I mean, I think it dropped like February or something.
Yeah, I could conceivably see people coming up to me saying, what is this, you know, if I played that? And that's what you want, you know.
I don't
like
have
making...
bills.
What are bills?
What are bills?
I have friends named Bill, but what's he talking about?
So, by the way, as we go along here, we welcome your input.
And by the way, you know, also, Brendan, on the radio.com 79 top hits of summer. Satisfaction was number one.
Ah.
Remix. Yeah.
We do welcome a listener. Let me just give out the phone number, 860-275-7266, if you want to call in. 860-275-7266. Also, you may tweet us at WNPRColin on Twitter, and you will be tweeted back at by Greg Hill, our tweetmaster. That's WNPRColin. We'd love it if you would tweet some of your ideas about this. One thing that I do want to emphasize, and we tried to say it every way that we could, but it was really beautifully written last year by Amanda Dobbins at Vulture, where she sort of said, you know, it's not the song that you like. You know, I think she used the new Spoon song last year. She says, you can't just sort of say, well, I really like that song, so that's my song of the summer. Maybe it is, but it's not the song of the summer. This is much more about the very uneasy coalition that makes something like Blurred Lines become this just sort of automatic, everybody out on the dance floor kind of thing. So, I mean, keep that in mind as you write to us or tweet us. I interrupted. Brendan, were you saying? Actually, Brendan, while I... while you have the floor, I did want you to maybe just give us, you have sort of an inside view of the fact that there are very calculating, some people might say cynical, attempts by the people who stoke the star-making machinery behind the popular song to get something to be the song of the summer. And I think you had kind of a little view of that at one point, right?
I did. In fact, I do have a career highlight that so when Apple Music launched last week, a lot of young people met for the first time the chair of Beats Music. And I think us older folk know him as Jimmy Iovine, who produced Born to Run for Bruce Springsteen. He's the head of Interscope. And he heard a Lady Gaga song in 2008 when we were just like this Lower East Side bar band. And he had a big meeting in L.A. where he just said, I want everyone on this. I want this to be Song of the Summer. And I like very quickly went from being, you know, the dive bar DJ who was a part-time bartender to going around the world making music videos and everything. And it was all at the time flushing, you know, money and talent and work into getting Song of the Summer 2008, which we didn't even remotely get. We were never on the charts that whole summer.
Well, that's
the pursuit
good
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. The pursuit of it is sort of the endeavor. It's like your summer. It's not about what happens. It's about how you got there. You know, it's you took a trip somewhere, you went to the beach, you tried to meet someone, you went out and danced, you did these things. The pursuit of them is the whole thing. It's not whether you do or do not get it. It's sort of different than school, where it's all about grading and achievement and work and
right. It's like the pilgrimage to Compostela in medieval times. You get to
exactly like the pilgrimage to Compostela in medieval times.
You get there eventually, but the whole thing is really about the trip.
All right, so let's get
and there's bodies.
We've got a call from John in Hartford, and it's actually about one of the songs that's on our list, so that's really good because we can actually play it. Hi, John, you're on the air.
Hi, Colin. Hi, folks. Yeah, I wanted to talk about a song that I heard it on the radio, and every once in a while you hear something on the radio, and it's like, gee, that's really different from all the other stuff. I should qualify this that I have two kids in middle school, and most of their music is either from a radio station up in Boston called Amp Radio, because I'm from Woodstock, so we get the Boston stations, or they listen to stuff on Spotify, pretty much the Spotify charts. And so this song came on, and I was like, wow, that's really different. Who is that? What is that? And they didn't know initially. And then, you know, the fact that we all liked it was really noteworthy to me. But anyway, it's called Cheerleader by Omi. And I think it's really interesting because it's got a lot of space in it, mm-hmm. at least the mix that's on the radio.
Yeah, well, we're going to play that for you right now. And then I already know exactly how the whole discussion that follows this will go. And it ends with our intern, Katie McAuliffe, storming out of the studio. But anyway, here we go.
My one solution is my queen, cause she stays strong. Yeah, yeah, she is always in my corner, right there when I wanna. All these other girls are tempting, but I'm empty when you're gone. And they say, do you need me? Do you think I'm pretty? Do I make you feel like cheating? I'm like, no, not really, cause oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader.
Cheerleader. All right, here's the order in which we will comment. First, we'll go Joan, and then we'll go Jim, and then the commissioner, Brendan Sullivan. So, Joan, you have the floor.
Well, it's not as offensive as many.
I thought you would like it better than that.
Well, I like it well enough. I kind of, from a female point of view, it's like, well, that's great. You see her as like a little person to stand by you and do your, you know, take care of you when you feel like you need cheerleading. Woohoo. And everybody likes that in a partner, but, you know, most songs of the summer are really incredibly sexist, and I guess I just have to live with that. I have lived with it my whole life, so whatever.
All right. So she went after the lyrics on that one. I wasn't expecting that. All right, Jim, you're next.
I was going to go after the lyrics. That was... So, first of all, I've noticed in a lot of these, there's a little bit of a novelty component, and the idea of opening up with a trumpet seems pretty, you know, gutsy and brave, until you get to the lyrics, where gutsy and brave just fall right aside. So, musically, this seems to pass a lot of Brendan's rules, but lyrically, it seems also really pretty offensive. But I don't think that really matters, right?
Well, I think the commissioner is going to rule in the negative
right
now. Anyway.
I appeal to.
I already know how
Judge
this. I know how this comes out.
It's not good enough to dance to.
Well, there's that issue too.
Well, it depends on where you put the cut.
All right, Brendan.
So I do love this song. However, I love the original recording that came out in 2012, and I feel like I'm the sexist jerk in this one. I sent it to my literary agent that summer to be like, this song really reminds me of you, the way you stand by me. Now, on that original, it's actually even more sparse than this recording. And so when I hear it, it gives me that ears bleeding feeling. It's like seeing a work of art, you know, graffitied over. It's just such a beautiful, wonderful song. The word around the kids I'm hearing now, like on Twitter, are saying, oh, I hate when I hear that song Cheerleader because it's such a summer song, but it came out during the school year.
All right. The only thing I have to add, and as Katie, actually, no, she's still in there. She likes the song. But the only thing that I have to add is that I kind of agree with Joan that somehow or other, usually, not always, this is a song that kind of blows you out of your chair onto the dance floor. I mean, that's what the song of the summer frequently is, and this isn't that. I mean, once you were actually out on the dance floor, you could probably, you know, sway around to this a little bit.
But at least the song needs to make you instantly sing along with it.
Something
if it's
like
not
that.
A dance thing, it has to really grab you and you're in it right away.
Along, you're probably swaying too.
Yes, right, exactly.
Right. We should also reflect on the fact that some years this whole conversation is kind of moot. And, which I don't think it is this year. I mean, the Carly Rae Jepsen year, by the time we got this show on the air, which was right around this time, it was over. We really had to manufacture a conversation. It was just over. I mean, everybody knew what the Song of the Summer was. And it was kind of true last year with Fancy. I mean, maybe not quite as emphatically true, but, you know, really by some, like, mid-June, you kind of knew. I mean, this just wasn't going to happen. And I do feel like this year, the jury is still kind of out. I think I know where this conversation is going to wind up, but I don't feel like... I mean, Brendan, do you feel like something's really got a lock on it right now?
No, but don't you feel like the summer hasn't really happened yet? Like, it was warm, it was cold. I think it's like astro...
Yeah, it hasn't happened. Like,
yeah, that could be it.
So the summer feeling can be behind that.
All right, we're going to grab a quick break. We welcome your input, 860-275-7266. We may not have your song available to play, however, or you can tweet us, WNPR Colin.
You're listening to The Colin.
All right, we're back. We're talking about the Song of the Summer. This is our annual Song of the Summer show. We've been doing them since 2011. Joining us today, Joan Holliday, a veteran of all of them. She's a radio personality at 93.9 The River in Northampton. Brendan J. Sullivan's joining us from New York, New York-based DJ, author of Rivington Was Ours, Lady Gaga, The Lower East Side, and The Prime of Our Lives. He's in the NPR studios in Manhattan. Jim Chapdelaine, musician, producer, guitar hero, leader of the Shinolas, a great summer band, is also here with us in studio. And of course, you're with us too. Call us at WN 860-275-7266. Tweet us at WNPR Colin. A lot of people are tweeting us. We'll get to those in a second. So, you know, with Joan, we have to let her nominate at least one song that is maybe not really being monitored on the charts. But the, as I say, if you go on Vulture or Billboard, or there's a lot of people who sort of try to keep track of this, what's going to be the song of the summer, who's going to win the contest. This song isn't, I don't think, on anybody else's radar right now, but it's by Leon Bridges. It's called Coming Home. Joan, you want to set it up for us?
Yeah, he's a guy from Fort Worth, Texas, and he's very retro. He's like channeling Sam Cooke, and he looks the part too. He dresses in a retro way, and I just think he's got a beautiful voice, and I like the feel of this. And I did have to bring in a couple of songs that I could bear to listen to.
All right, here we go.
Never be the song of the summer.
And I think I know why, but I'd be interested to know whether Jim or Brendan has a theory.
I love this song. I can almost tell you which ribbon mics they're using to record this. It's all recorded in one room. Very Sam Cooke-y. If you look at the cover, it's super retro, black and white, intentionally retro. He's genuinely talented. I love this, and especially in contrast, I love it. But I don't hear the big hook, and I think the intro is too long for the particular subject we're talking about, which has to grab people in 3 seconds. This
yeah,
is more of like
that.
A 25-second grab.
Well, he squandered his 3 seconds.
Yeah, he did. So Brendan, that's my take on it.
Brendan,
I love
me,
the vibe of it, though.
Brendan, let me bounce my theory off you. Here's my theory about this, that one of the things you can say most of the time about the Song of the Summer is that it also sums up kind of the way music sounds at a certain moment. So if you think about Fancy last year, I mean, everything about it was sort of – it wasn't just the song itself. The song was kind of a placeholder for how music was sounding at that moment. And certainly the year of Blurred Lines, I mean, we were entering this Pharrell Williams period of domination. I mean, it had to have the Pharrell Williams sound to it. You have to sort of skip over Carly Rae Jepsen because that's the song that could kind of work probably at any time. But certainly the only reason for LMFAO ever to have won Song of the Summer at that moment was it was kind of the way music sounded right at that moment.
Yeah.
And so that's my theory, Brendan, is that this kind of feels
that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
There's sort of a clear winner of everything that sounds a way that a certain number of people would listen to it. I think there might have been a gap somewhere between the end of radio domination and the beginning of our playlist culture, where there wasn't always a clear winner. Now, again, you don't always want to be the winner. So, like, look at 1988. The Song of the Summer was Roll With It by Steve Winwood. But that summer on the top charts was Pour Some Sugar on Me, Sweet Child of Mine, you know, Elton John's I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That. You know, these are songs that are still being played.
Yep.
Right.
And that's the sound of more, maybe that it sort of becomes the sound of the 80s to us now. And we sort of forget the top. You know, it's like you'd lose the peaks.
Right. And I also think there is a kind of Mummy's curse here, too. We've kind of alluded to it. But, I mean, Iggy Azalea's career has kind of, for various reasons, imploded right now. She's had to cancel her tour. I mean, obviously, Robin Thicke wound up in court. And Carly Rae Jepsen is still, I think, trying to shake off the notion that she's a one-hit wonder. She actually has a song out this summer that some people have made arguments for. LMFAO, I don't even know if they're – how would I even know if they're still working? But But, you know, sort of there is – it's not universal, but there's a way in which that – and you pointed that out in your video, Brendan. There is a way in which maybe you don't really want this. You want to be the second or third place thing because you might last longer.
Okay, but to go with my theory that Song of the Summer is like your summer romance, you still want a Song of the Summer. It doesn't matter if it's the highlight or the love of your life. You still want one. It's summer. It's got to happen.
Right. So we're getting some tweets here, and this is the only reason I would play this song, we're about to do Bad Blood, Wolfie, is because we got a tweet about it. So here's Amy tweeting, summer anthem and breakup song covering all the bases. Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. This is with Kendrick Lamar. It's not going to be the song of the summer, but she tweeted it. We've got it. We'll play it.
Because baby, now we got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because baby, now we got bad blood.
Hey, I can't take it back. Look where I'm at. We was OG like DOC. Remember that. My TOC was quite OD. ID my facts. Now POV of you and me, similar Iraq. I don't hate you, but I hate to critique, overrate you. These beats of a dark card use bass lines to replace you. Take time and erase you. Love don't hear no more, no, I don't fear no more. Better yet, respect and quite sincere no more.
All right, there's another one.
She should have waited and released Shake It Off now.
Yeah, Shake It Off could have been a song of the summer.
It would have been the song of the summer.
Yeah. And I love Kendrick Lamar, too. But
yeah,
this,
I do, too. I'm trying to figure this out.
Well, this is a song in which the whole is less than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
They both, it's kind of like that Paul McCartney, Kanye West thing that happened.
And Brendan, as a DJ, this isn't really a song that you would want to have to work with, I assume.
No, good. No, because even if, you know, if you're at that party where, you know, the person paying the bill is just begging for it, you're going to clear the dance floor on this
right.
And you can't get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're
so going
to have to play Blurred Lines and have people go, oh, God, remember last summer? Yeah.
The valet parking lot would empty immediately.
Right. So we're trying to figure out what the song of the summer is going to be. We might as well, we just got a tweet about this, too. We have to speed through a few of them. So Living Enough has tweeted, I fear it may be Trap Queen. And then he has appended misogyny on fleek. We dealt with on fleek recently. All right, so we'll hear a little bit. This is by Fetty Rap. Here's Trap Queen.
To my stove, showed her how to whip and now she remixing for low. She my trap queen, let her hit the bando. We be counting up, watch how far them bands go. We just set it go, talking.
All right.
Please turn it off.
This is a spring break song. It's
yeah.
A blast. But here's where I'm going to, as you know, if I just follow wealthy people across the world, which is what I do, this is the song that we're going to hear this winter in Gstaad, Switzerland, when everybody's done with Ibiza and done with the Hamptons, and they go there for Christmas, and they're like, don't you remember 6 months ago, the last time we all saw each other? Trap Queen.
That happens to me all the time, too, Brendan.
He follows people
from
Elmwood to West Park.
I just get the whole like nursery rhyme vibe. And that may speak to what it takes, like a really low common denominator, which would, something we haven't even seen, and probably Brendan doesn't run into a lot, is bro country. I mean, don't they get their whole song of the summer, like drinking and thinking with my
like
lady?
Like Red Solo Cup or whatever.
Yeah. They buy it with Confederate money.
But you're not probably playing a lot of that in the Hamptons.
Maybe not. But yeah, I just want to say one thing about this. I would put this perhaps incorrectly. So this is a song that's a little bit boring at this point to Brendan and jarring to some of the rest of us because we really haven't heard too much trap music before. And but I do think there are songs occasionally that sum up a style and introduce a style to a mass audience, take it from a niche audience to a mass audience. And they can be a little bit jarring. I would put in the same category, Turn Down for What, which when I first heard it and it was in the sweepstakes for Song of the Summer. It's here. I thought, oh, that's really horrible. I don't like it. And then I kind of understood eventually what it was, you know. And then I did cultivate and gain an affection for it. But you know, sometimes the style of a song is it's unfamiliar enough so that those of us in the mainstream who are not cutting edge. You know, it shocks us. Shock is probably,
you know what I would say as a pro at this, those songs are just as jarring in the business. Like when, you know, Turned Down for What was, is the kind of song you can't come back from.
Exactly. You can't. I DJ too sometimes and yeah. You cannot recover from that song.
Like, what do you mean
it's
by
like
that?
It's like the Harlem Shake.
You
it's the Harlem Shake.
You can't find another song to come after it.
Fill the dance floor. And then it's the one Harlem Shake is, you know, the one trap song people know. And then you're not going to play trap for half an hour after that.
Nope.
No, you then you have to go to Bad Blood.
Yeah, that's right.
Start over. You have to reboot. That's right. Your reboot song.
Let people go get a drink of water.
Yeah.
All right. So we're speeding here, but I'm trying to manage the clock here. So Maroon 5 has released a song. And in fact, Kent Plourde is tweeting us in support of this particular song. Now, this particular song has all kinds of problems for us because, in fact, it's called This Summer is going to hurt Like a Mother Something. So right away, Maroon 5 is kind of hitting off a different set of tees here. I mean, you know. So we actually had to, first of all, find a cleaned up version of it. And here it goes. It's in there somewhere. And actually, Joan, you had it on your list. So
I did because I think it was kind of a contender, but I also think it's really kind of leaden. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not moves like Jagger.
Right.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Brendan. Last night, my wife teaches pre-K and says, you know, my kids are the ones who predict it's whatever they're singing right now that will become
the pre-K kids are singing this song.
Mm-hmm. And she said, and they're all singing this song by Maroon 5. And I said, well, there is a song by Maroon 5 on this list. I said, is it this song? And she recoiled in horror, of course. So apparently there's another Maroon 5 song. But yeah, I agree with you, Joan. This song is trying to be the prom date, but it's not going to get a date.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, just perfectly said right there. This is a try-hard song. Yeah. I mean, I also like to get in the car for the first time this summer and put on the Beach Boys every summer.
Thank you.
You know, it's not – that doesn't define summer.
Right.
And definitely doesn't define summer 2015.
It kind of doesn't define anything.
This song, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, to me, this one does sound very much like a very, very calculated attempt to have the song of the summer. And
Calvin Harris has a song, and the first line of it is just When I Met You in the Summer, and the song is called Summer. And that's a great song for me to throw on, you know, in the first weekend in May when I'm DJing out there. But it doesn't define any summer in particular, which is fine.
All right, we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. Eventually, we're going to play the song that I think is probably going to win.
You know, winning the Song of the Summer contest isn't always good for your career. I was mentioning that to Nelly Furtado today when she was making my mochaccino. Today's show was produced by Colin McEnroe and me, Kyone Wolf. Our interns are Katie Cheerleader McAuliffe, Jules Bills Lefevre, and Deborah Shut Up and Dance Timms. Greg Hill appeared in the intro and tweets for us at WNPR Colin. The part of Bill Curry was played by the Black Eyed Peas. For show pages, articles, and videos of the Faith Middleton Show staff lip-syncing the party rock anthem, visit our webpage, wnpr.org/Colin. On tomorrow's show, the nose goes to New Haven. And now, back to Colin.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll be down at the Study in New Haven in the lobby of that beautiful hotel on Chapel Street. You're welcome to join us at 1. We're going to be sort of part of the festival, the International Festival of Arts, Ideas, and Pancakes, which is held every year in New Haven. We'll have one of the performers, Roger Smith, from that. He's actually doing a one-man show about Rodney King down there. Also, Oppie, Mark Oppenheimer, will be joining us, and Benny Klein. We've all seen, speaking of the Beach Boys, the Brian Wilson biopic, Love and Mercy. That's one of the things we'll talk about. We've got a list of topics, though. So anyway, a little bit different tomorrow, but feel free to join us in person if you want to, if you're in the area. So we're talking about the Song of the Summer right now. We're talking to Jim Chapdelaine, to Joan Holiday, and to Brendan J. Sullivan. And we're getting close. We're getting close to where I sort of think the conversation must end. But I want to bring up one thing before we're going to play a couple more songs here and maybe get a call on the air, too. It also seems to me as though obviously timing is so incredibly important, like when the song comes out, when it starts to get airplay, when it gets onto the charts is all really, really important. And I wonder if an argument could be made. I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble here. But for the fact that last year, absolutely, Fancy by Iggy Azalea, it's the song of the summer. By the numbers, it's the song of the summer. By every other possible statistical measure, it's the song of the summer. And by the zeitgeist measure, it's the song of the summer. But that, in a weird way, August was controlled by Meghan Trainor and All About That Bass. You're nodding. There's a way in which that is kind of true, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So Brendan, what about that? What about sort of a late arrival? How do you feel about that as the commissioner?
I loved that song. I loved everything about that song.
It was great.
It was anti and but full of the spirit at the same time. It was the perfect answer to Fancy, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Because really by the end of the summer, you're sick of the Song of the Summer,
right?
In a sad way.
Yeah.
The same way that in August, that hot week happens where you're just like, I just can't wait for fall to cool off.
I want to wear my sweaters again.
All right, we're gonna play one song that I actually got a lot of support on Facebook when I brought this topic up this week. It's on Joan's list, too. It's not on the list of the tastemakers who kind of seem to control this process. It's called Honey, I'm Good. It's by Andy Grammer. Let's play a little bit of it.
Nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home. So no, honey, I'm good. I can have another, but I probably should not. I got somebody at home, and if I stay, I might not leave alone. No,
sort of a testament to fidelity, anyway.
Yeah, I hate this one less than most.
Yeah. This is all.
This is
a monogamy
song.
It's verging on bro country without fiddles and...
Mm-hmm. It's Cotton Eye Joe.
Thank you, Joan.
It's Cotton Eye Joe, yeah.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of is that song. So, and it's probably a little too country to have the kind of urban props that you usually have to have to be the Song of the Summer, right? And this is going to be a song. It's got to be a song that people in cities, and specifically New York and L.A., are into probably to win.
You know, there was a time I played 10 summers on Cape Cod, and we would often randomly pick a song and just – and I remember these happy hour performers would always do – Sweet Caroline for some reason because it's a real rah-rah song. And, you know, we were too smart for that. We wouldn't play that. And now it's become this huge thing. And I'm pretty sure that's where it started is on Cape Cod in the summer.
Huh. Well, speaking of the shore, we've got a call from Chris in Old Lyme. Every time we do this, there's always some sentiment that builds up for some song that we don't have anywhere in our computers. So we've got a tweet about this from Greg and a call about this from Old Lyme. So Chris will have to actually sing a little bit of it for us because we can't play it for you. But Chris, you had one you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I certainly don't think I'm going to be singing on the air for you.
Come on.
We have auto-tune.
I'd go for Major Lazer and DJ Snake. It's a song called Lean On featuring some vocals from a female. I think she's a Dutch artist named Mo.
Right. So DJ Snake, of course, part of the team that also gave us Turn Down for What. So, Brendan.
Is the number one song in the world right now.
Is it? Really?
Yeah. And it's, we don't really hear that much of it.
Huh. So it's the number one song in the world because it's really popular where?
Oh, I mean, that's a great qualifier. Right. The qualifier I would give is it's on the Spotify world list right now.
Oh, interesting.
Of every place Spotify, there is Spotify, that's the number one song in the world.
Wow. That's really interesting. All right. So let's, well, we don't have it. We can't play it for anybody. So anyway, we're going to play what the song that I think is sort of emerging as kind of a consensus favorite. Although I want to understand why that is. It's by Walk the Moon. It's called Shut Up and Dance. Here we go.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said ooh, ooh, shut up and dance with me. We were victims of the night. The chemical, physical kryptonite. Help us do.
We built this city on rock and roll.
80s, 80s,
because of Jesse's
80s.
Girl.
130 beats per minute, gated snare. Everything about the 80s is in there.
A gated snare, that's what that's called?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I like this song.
Yeah.
I do
came
like
out
it.
In November, by the way.
Yeah, it's old.
He said wearily.
I would say this is a new category that we haven't discussed yet. This is a viral hit. This is something that wasn't really promoted. It just got into people's ears.
Yeah, and on YouTube and Spotify, and people started grabbing it.
That's a new chart. That's beyond radio and beyond with MTV or whatever. It's just playing it, just means teenagers like it.
It's romance. There's a starstruck guy, a sassy girl, a great beat. They're dancing. It's
ton of
awesome.
Reverb.
Yeah, and I think also, Brendan, I think it does pass one of your tests in that I think the opening is there's a quick, seductive opening that suggests that maybe something
it's
exciting
like a
is about
opening.
To happen.
Yeah, very much.
You're going to leap right out of your chair and hit the dance floor on that.
And I assume that I've never heard of Walk the Moon. Brendan, are these fresh faces?
They are fresh faces, but I mean, you know, you could see them in a 50-person venue in, last year at CMJ, for example, the New York Music Festival. As recently as November, October.
Right.
Brendan, so they are kind of a sleeper hit. You kind of cheer for them in a way. That's kind of the fun thing about being a music fan is you are a fan. You want them to make it.
Yeah. Have you seen this video?
I did.
Yes, I have. And it's sampled in my my Song of the Summer.
Oh, that's right. It is in there.
Supercut.
It is in there.
It's funny.
It's really cute, right?
Yeah.
It's cute. This is another monogamy song. This is another How I Met Your Mother. that time we went out, she just said, shut up and dance with me. And I knew that right then,
So do we all think, is this going to be it?
Get over here.
Yeah. Is this going to be it? I mean, is this going to be the song of the summer? Does anybody want to go out on a limb here? I mean, in one of your videos, Brendan, you went about, a third of the way out on the limb for this song.
Yeah, so I guess if Fancy was the clear winner last year and then we all of a sudden had Meghan Trainor, I feel like this is our Fancy. Mm-hmm. Not that we're all that, none of us seem that excited about it, but that makes me think that the Song of the Summer is still out there somewhere.
Yeah, we have
one
heard
can hope.
Yeah.
One can hope.
But Joan, you like it enough for it to be.
Well, it's got everything that it probably needs. I wouldn't say I'm like, that's a great song. It's not a great song,
so
but it could
be
song.
So if it comes on the radio, are you going to keep it on every time it comes by?
Every time?
Yeah.
No.
Right. And would that be part of the litmus test? Like, you just want to crank this thing in your car?
But if my daughter and I were in the car together and it came on, we'd crank it up and we'd both sing along.
Yeah.
And there's another thing about Song of the Summer is when everybody's in their car and it's when they got the windows down.
Right.
The Song of the Summer will hit you whether someone else is playing it or whether you're playing it.
You got
it. So it's almost like when the windows are down and the trunk is rattling from the bass, do you, who had no choice in that song, go like, I like this song.
Yeah, exactly. Right, you go, ooh.
As that car passes you.
That your organs are shaking loose from the booming system.
All right, we're going to have to wrap here, though. I think Brendan's got it right, too, that this is going to be the song of the summer for a while anyway, but in fact there might be something out there.
I think it's a placeholder.
There's a Meghan Trainor type song out there that's going to replace it eventually. Thanks so much to Joan Holliday, radio personality with WRSI, the River in North Hampton, 93.9. Brendan J. Sullivan, New York-based DJ, author of Rivington was Was Ours, Lady Gaga, The Lower East Side, and The Prime of Our Lives, and Jim Chapdelaine, Connecticut musical treasure, musician, producer, guitar hero.
I'm dancing, baby. Let's go. This summer's gonna hurt like a mother. Ow. It hurt like a mother.